matter of kings. For though Joffrey, as Paul Beethoven distinct, one should not coat, decorate the entire house with the whitening lime whitening agent, which is what they used in those times, and modern day equivalent would probably be paint. And a top Beethoven tit, one covers the wall, which is originally built with brick, then it's covered with a layer of a type of cement, and then it's covered with this white tit. So one plasters the bricks with cement, the sculptor tit, and one can also cover it with the whitening tit, but one should leave an area of an amor by an amor, a square of an amor by an amor. An amor is something between approximately 50 to 60 centimeters. Kenei Tapesa, opposite the entrance, beloisit, which is not covered with this whitening, kedei lizkor hakurban, in order to recall the korban beis hamikdash. Umashalim nagu kein atzor, that which nowadays people do not do this, says the Kisei Shulchan Aruch, lo yadanu tam bo. We do not know any good reason, and therefore one should do it. Nowadays, you know, we don't see everybody doing it, but it is. One should do it. The Mishnah Berurah suggests a type of limud zchus, although when we use the word limud zchus, it's meant to say that ideally one should still do it, but this perhaps is an explanation of those who don't, which is that the white tzid, which is available in our times, is not similar to what was available in the times of Chazal. It is less white. It is more a dull type of colour, and therefore, and on this, Chazal didn't require.
You said you understand.
It really depends on
that.
Yeah, go on.
This explanation, the whole
idea. It really depends a little. What is really the point of what we're saying here? There's two ways of putting it down. One way is to understand that because we don't want to be fully happy, so a person shouldn't fully decorate his home. Right? That's one way of saying it. The other way might sound very similar, but there's a slight difference between them. The other way to understand, which is maybe more posh, is that we wish to do an action, something which will remind us of Beis HaMikdash.
Oh,
right. So if you go the first way,
it reminds us of not totally finished life.
Right.
How it's finished. It could be red painting. I can call red painting.
Everything is unfinished.
Yeah.
Right. So it really depends on those two ways. If you say the point is not to fully decorate your house, so you could say that maybe our white finish nowadays is not, it's not.
That's not good reason either. Why not fully decorate?
Because nowadays nobody fully decorates.
No. Why? If they said, don't decorate, why? I will ask Rabbi, good. I'm not going to fully decorate. What does it mean? Why, Rabbi, I should not? Because the Smidish was destroyed. How I know when I'm not fully decorated and not destroyed? Well, I don't put another couch. Usually I put two beautiful couches, but I now have one couch. You see, it's not fully decorated because the whole corner empty. No, it's a reminder of best message. I really lost all this, you know, right now. Even somebody reminds me of destruction, of not finishing.
Yeah.
Which really bothers my eyes. Oh,
but then we understand.
I don't understand what it means. Right now it's from this white color. Because usually white color decorated, you don't have white color.
Yeah.
Everything
cool. Okay, the white color.
You understand my
question? Yeah, I understand.
It's a bit like seeing what we've got on right now. What we've got in right now is an undercoat.
Right, the whole thing in the first place.
It's an undercoat. That's
not. Yeah, that's
the
story. It's still difficult. There's two sides of the coin. That's the story of it. Because now, it's not finished. This thing is not a decent way to finish it out. On the other hand, the mic, if everybody does that in this place, in this location, in this time, that's how they finish out. So, there's definitely two sides of the coin. Okay, then let's come on, just discuss a little bit of dialogues. So, having said all this, we understand also that this doesn't apply specifically to this example given in Chazal of finishing the walls with this white seat. if one finishes one's walls in any other fashion, whether it's with paint, with wallpaper, with other types of decorations, the same other applies. Whatever the finish of the wall is, one leaves of that finished touch an other by an other, a square of an other by an other. First, you actually wonder, when we say this size of an amah by an amah, what would be if somebody wants to rearrange, and instead of having a precise amah al-amah, he'll have a space on his wall which contains within it the area of an amah by an amah, but it's not a square, let's say it's a rectangle, it's any other shape. The Prima Godin discusses it, and he is inclined to think that we have to follow exactly as it's written in Chazal, an amah by an amah. Maybe the story might be that that's more noticeable and more catches the eye. He doesn't really discuss it. He recommends that we simply follow amah al-amah as it is recorded in Chazal. Now, the precise location of this, Keneged HaPesach, it's written it should be Keneged HaPesach. Now, there are actually two Pirushim in the Poskim, what it means, Keneged HaPesach. But the fundamental point of it appears to be the same. One explanation, Keneged HaPesach means actually directly opposite the Pesach. So that whenever you'll come in your house, it will be noticeable. As you come in, you'll see it on the wall opposite you. The other Pirush, Keneged HaPesach, is that Keneged HaPesach means actually adjacent to or above the door. Now, when you have something adjacent to or above the door, when you come in the house, you don't see it.
But when you're leaving the house.
Either when you're leaving the house, you see it. That's one thing. And Poskim also say that according to the design of houses in times of Chazal, when you sat in your house, you came in the house and you sat down. When you sit in the house, it will be in a very noticeable place. So the bottom line is, ideally one does put it opposite the door, failing that in a fairly conspicuous place which one will see frequently.
If you've got more than one main entrance, say, really large house like mansion. Got main entrance, side entrance, back entrance.
Yeah.
Yes, it's right.
It's a good point, actually.
I just would like to add also, since some people right now can afford to have, how do you call this area after the door around?
A porch.
Okay. When
it's a hallway?
When we're walking in the house, this area, it's not dining room.
Right, you don't walk straight into the main area. I know what you mean. You don't walk straight into the main area. There are many houses in England that like that. You come to a sort of hallway area.
They have area like this room.
Yeah.
So right now, it doesn't matter, but I put it, I don't see it.
Right.
No.
But still, you see it when you come in the house. So you don't see it as you're sitting, you're going about your. You see it when you come in the house. So many still say to put it Keneged HaPesach when you come in. But there are some, exactly see this question of many, many entrances, but there is an opinion in the Poskim who maintains that Baruch Kiddush, which we don't see, that in fact one should do this in every room. We occasionally find in Chazal the designation of the word bais doesn't always mean.
Is
very understandable,
actually.
Yeah, is very understandable. We do find that the designation of word by it doesn't always mean house, as in house generally. It does sometimes mean a room. And some places can maintain one should do this in every room. Not my sir, the word is only who did this. But the minhag ha'olam, we clearly know, is to take on a division once for each house.
It's also very interesting that certain another terms is for me.
Yeah.
When I come into a house and see this, it's like, I see to the owner of this house.
Right.
And now I know who lives in here. But at least some God feeling Jews.
Yeah, you see that it's a Yerei Shamayim.
Right.
Yeah, true, very true.
It comes to me in grace, you know, and I see.
Oh, right, yeah.
Mezuzah
is not Yerei Shamayim.
What is that? Mezuzah,
the door means
no, it's not Yerei Shamayim. It's not noticeable, noticeable. Yes, you're right. But it's not much of something immediately hit my eye. Yeah, there's a lot of things I can see. Candles. I see a lot of things in the house. But this.
Now, what about to decorate this area rather than leaving it empty? To decorate it with some sort of decoration which will remind us of Yerushalayim.
Or people write Zakor.
Zeta Lachuban. Now, first we talk about a more basic level of doing this, which is painting this area in black. Painting the area in black. So the Mishnah Berurah brings two opinions about it. Some say one should specifically leave it completely unpainted, undone, as is mentioned in Chazal, and the other poskim who find support for permitting such a thing, painting it in black. The Moshe writes that black, we find many times in Chazal, denotes avedus, and therefore painting it in black, says the Moshe, even if it will be that the black might be nice, it might be a shiny black, it might add to the. That, so the Moshe, the issue over here is not to make the house ugly, the issue is to do something which will be a simon of the Torah. And therefore painting it in black is also written as being a way of healing.
In our times
it's very difficult
when broken jeans cost 6 times more than broken.
It's hard to.
As soon as they have three things there,
it becomes the fashion.
I'm not sure all these things, we just say don't change anything at all. Just
stay on it. Remember, and you know that coming the day, the decorating,
it is beautiful. You know how we put a lot of
brachas
on the
beautiful.
Question?
Yeah, so again, it comes a little bit back to this tattoo, where there's an issue of making it not beauty. The maaser is that there are people that are some who find support for such a minhag of decorating, of writing the Eichel Torah, etc., etc. However, there is no question that the best way of being behind this halacha is sticking to it as it's written and just leaving an empty amal.
There's one test how it's done.
Yeah.
Test by person who not religious or by boy. If boy comes and said, why you didn't finish school?
Right.
Oh, do that.
Then it's absolutely
true. If boy said, it's nice design this black.
Right. Yeah.
Good
so then, yeah. Then it happens.
Then you get nothing. Zero.
Definitely a story. Now,
that's more as a statement, so you need to say, what does it mean to say, remember the token? What's that supposed to mean? What's right in the wall? Why do you write something on the wall?
Definitely you should not write it. I'm also against
it. That's your view.
The simple key with the whole thing to leave it completely empty. There are those who find support for doing it differently and putting something else that reminds the portrait. This is the one other topic of this, which is, what about if one purchases a house? You didn't build the house. The way it's spoken about in Chazal is somebody who builds the house, you should do such and such. But you didn't build the house. I got the house already built. So in fact, somebody who purchases a house from a non-Jew, say, who wasn't obliged to make this Beit HaMikdash, one is not obliged to peel off the outer layer and create a Beit HaMikdash. Only when one redecorates at some stage, then one leaves a Beit HaMikdash. One is not obliged to undo, to come to undo. It's go that far. When you do it, you really don't finish. However, one other point, if one does purchase from somebody who should have made one and didn't make it, then you're obliged to undo what you did.
Even the person moved into this house, probably the builder just built
it. So that's a little bit unclear. What about the way we have houses nowadays, which are built by a builder?
Good point, I've learned. Yeah. When you move first in your house, it's not first for living in this house.
Right.
It's a builder.
You bought it really from, you didn't build it yourself. Some people do, but normally you don't build it yourself, you buy it from somebody else. Now, Moshe writes, I'm sure this is 100% comparable to our situation. Moshe writes that somebody who builds a house in order to sell it, for example, is not obliged to make his Eitz HaMikdash. Because this halakha applies to somebody who builds a house to live in it. You build a house to sell it, you're not obliged to make a Eitz HaMikdash. And the person who buys from him, therefore, is also not obliged to make a Eitz HaMikdash. Because you're buying from somebody who wasn't obliged. It wasn't done basis, so you're not obliged. I'm not 100% sure if this is applicable to our nowadays situation. Because very often you buy the house. Actually, if you before buy from a contractor or whatever, like we have these all these buildings that are much cherished nowadays, you actually buy the house before it's built. Often. Sometimes it's afterwards, but very often you sign on paper either before it's built or in very early stages of the building. So effectively, they're not really building it to sell.
The true
definition is they're building it for you. You bought it for
it. Even you do that, that's what I'm trying to say. Even you do that, you say, okay, he says, well, here's a design, here's a plan. And you say, okay, I'll please change that wall. But you don't go to the practical, you go by wall.
Because they just build it. They build it in the fashion of one who builds the stuff, even though theoretically the license already belongs to you.
And I had choices when I bought my house and I built a staff to make sure to see that add him to do this square.
Yeah.
And Rabbi recommended to do this.
To yourself. Uh-huh. So, when I moved into my house over here, I'm not going to change.